analogy, but, you know, a refresher nonetheless. So, okay, this is fascinating. I gotta tell you, I was fascinated by this. So there's two sides, page one and page two. Let's start with page two, actually, probably a little easier. So you have a hen. So how in the world does a hen create eggs? Okay, now, the eggs already exist. So if you look in the top picture there, it says ovary, and the ova yolk. So the hen has a number of yolks, you know, in place. And then what happens is the yolks kind of begin to slowly move down this tube, the oviduct. And as it moves down, it begins to get the egg white surrounding it. And slowly, it gets this membrane around it. That's kind of the egg white. If you look in the first page here, it says the yolk, the chicken egg starts as an egg yolk inside a hen. So that's the original egg is just a yolk. A yolk called an oocyte at this point. It's produced by the hen's ovary in a process called ovulation. Fertilization. The yolk is released into the oviduct, a long spiraling tube in the hen's reproductive system, where it can be fertilized internally inside the hen by a sperm. So the sperm sits in the oviduct. The egg goes out either way. If there's sperm there, the sperm will then fertilize the yolk in essence, okay? And then you'll have an egg that can produce a chick. Otherwise, it'll just produce an egg that cannot produce a chick, which is the eggs that we have in the store are not fertilized eggs. The egg white, the yolk continues down the oviduct, whether or not it's fertilized, and is covered with a membrane called the Vitalian membrane, structural fibers and layers of albumin, the egg white. This part of the oviduct is called the magnus. Then the chalazae, I guess. As the egg goes down...
Is that a Hebrew word? Or?
The chalazae? Chalazae? as the egg goes down to the oviduct, it's continually rotating within the spiraling tube. So this is... It's spiraling around. This movement twists the structural fibers called the chalazae, which form rope-like strands that anchor the yolk in the thick egg white. These are the two chalazae anchoring each yolk on opposite ends of the egg. The eggshell. The eggshell is deposited around the egg in the lower part of the oviduct of the hen. So if you look back here on page two, so as the egg is spinning, the yolk is spinning and kind of getting a thicker and thicker membrane around it, it ends up in this area at the end here, the end of the oviduct, and then it just sits there. Okay? And then it takes 20 hours for the shell to calcify to the point that it's hard enough to then be released and survive.
4 hours to get to the egg white?
So it takes 4 hours to get from the ovary to the end of the oviduct.
And collect the whole egg white.
Yeah. Right. And, right, so that's a four-hour process. And then 20 hours, roughly, for the shell to develop and then slowly harden to the point where then it can be released. After 24 hours, the egg is released. So basically, it can only produce one egg a day, maximum. So that's how this whole thing works. So this is relevant because now we just have a sense of the process. Because if you shecht the hen at different points of the process, you'll find something different. You can find an egg that's only a yolk, that has a small amount of egg white, that has the entirety of the egg white, that even has a developing shell, but not very hard shell yet. Or you can even find a fully formed shell
that's ready to
come out. So we'll see that where it is in this process is going to potentially determine whether we consider this to be part of the chicken or not.
Why shouldn't it just come down to whether it's fertilized by sperm or not?
Most of the eggs that we grow are not fertilized by sperm.
No, all the eggs we eat are not fertilized, but I'm saying why, for purposes of basar b'chalav, why shouldn't it just come down to whether or not it's fertilized or not? No.
The question here is
why,
not.
Let's try to start with the question: why should an unfertilized egg be anything but part? Like, why would you think that would be
part of the chicken? Pancreas.
It's right. So as long
it's not an organ. It's.
As long as inside the chicken, it should be part of the chicken.
Right.
Here's the.
So you're saying the habamina.
Does an egg have? So in some ways, an egg is different than milk, because milk is a really separate entity. almost like honey from a bee. But the egg, certainly if it's fertilized, is the animal, is the reproductive or, you know, system. So just like a calf would be, you know, the egg is going to become fleshig. Yeah. The chiddush of the egg is that there's a temporary state where it's not going to be fleshig, even though eventually it will become fleshig.
But a fertilized egg, even if no embryo really has developed yet, is that still
part? Still part, yeah, it's still part. You could, people all the time eat, you know, fertilized eggs. But if it never develops, then
it's also going to remain part. Right? Like at what point, if it's partway developed, where do you say it's already...
Right. At what point it's developed enough that there's something in there. Right. So there is a chiddush to an egg. It's not so pushy to just say, well, it must be parv. Well, why should it be parv? It should really be fleshing. And even if it's not fertilized, you can still say, well, this is a reproductive system of the animal. So the chiddush here is not only will we say it's parv, we'll say it's parv if the egg is complete and it's still in the chicken. Right? And we would say, you know, even milk is fleshig if it's found inside of a cow, yet somehow an egg is parv even if it's found in the chicken, when shechted. So we have a very unique kind of halakha category here of a beitza that doesn't really seem to fit too many categories. So we have to figure out here is why that's the case. And number two,
I don't know if you can say kol shekein here, because the milk in the cow is in a cow, and cow it's deraisa, whereas chicken is just a takana.
So we'll get to that. So that could be part of it. That could definitely be part of it. The fact that a chicken is derabanan, that could be a factor in why we're more mekil. 100%. Okay. So let's get to our makoros here. So the Beis Yosef brings the Machlokas Rishonim on the different on the different categories, the different opinions as to at what point of the process does this be, is this fleshing. Well, based on Nimsim Be'ofos, Mutar M'liyachol and B'chala. Yeah, so page 3.
This one?
Yeah, something happened in there.
Yeah, there's no. Oh, there.
Okay, this should be.
Right there.
Oh, this is another page. There's 3 pages of Makoros. You guys in life 2? Okay.
2.
Alright. Obey Sam Samba Ophos. Mitaram Liachlam Bachalav. So the Beis Yosef says, you know, he paskins that we can, if you open up, if you shecht a chicken and you find an egg, you can eat that egg with chalav. It's parv. It has to be a complete egg. So Bryce said Parakama Diyandif. So this, the source of this here is Beitza. Again, Beitza just has the craziest combination of sugyas. So here we have this sugya in Beitza. Hashokat Tartar and Goles. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Im Hayam, Me'uros Begidin Asuros. Okay? So, if it's Me'uros Begidin, if it's still connected to the chicken in some way, so now it's Asur. Now it's considered to be Fleshik. Now, as we went through the process of how the egg is conceived, it's not so clear when that stage is. What does Me'uros Begidin mean? Move of begin could mean when it's still connected to the ovary. It could mean before it's fully formed. It could mean all sorts of things. So we're showing him trying to figure out what does Rabbi Yaakov mean when he says if it's move of begin it's still fleshing. Ramashmi, the very post game, Dalacha Katanakama. So we do hold like the Tanakama here. But can't cast the Rabbi Magib because of a Rashba Torah Sabayas. Ezahui Beitza Gemura. But what is a full egg? So he, the Rashba holds. Kol sheyesh la chelbon v'chelmon. It has to have the yellow and the white. Okay? So if it's just an oak, according to the Rashba, if all you have is the yolk, then it's still considered part of the chicken. Once the white has formed, but even before you have any sort of a shell whatsoever. So again, this is still pretty early in the process. But you're already basically, you know...
It's a barrier.
It's already... That's, well, it means that it's... You know, when it's a yolk... it's still really part of the ovary, right? Because we said, let's say you shechted a chicken and you wanted to take the yolks out of the ovary, right? So that would definitely be fleishig. It's still part of the animal in every way conceivable. It's when the yolk leaves the ovary and goes through the oviduct and then begins to get surrounded by the white, that's when it becomes a separate entity according to the Rashba. Even though it's still really a very loose entity, right? It's not. There's no shell yet. If it only has the chalmon, if it only has the yolk, but no white, then still meat. He kugufa ofi. That's still part of the body of the chicken. So I find it fascinating. The Rishonim, when they describe this process, they describe it in very good, very in detail, but they really seem to understand the process very well. Listen to the Lashon here. He says, the Rosh is quoting the second Shita. She'ene gemurat she'tigmor klipa asav v'tit kashet. He said, he lists two parts of the process. The shell is completed and hardened. Now that's very instructive because, as we said, first the egg, I'm saying the yolk and the white gets to the area where the shell is created. The shell is created and then hardens over 20 hours. So you could have a complete shell that's just not hard yet. So according to the second Shita, even if you had a shell, if the shell isn't fully hardened yet, it's still going to be fleishig. Okay, Verishon near Iker, but he thinks it's the first Shita. So the Rashba holds, as long as it has the white part, it's already now a separate entity. And the Shita that the Rashba rejected, that it needs to have a fully hardened egg in order to be considered a fleishig, that was the Mordechai, b'shem Rashba. The Rashi perish beitzim gemuros, v'afilu b'lo klipa levana, el shechamon levado gamor, v'avishim o'ore adayim begidin, sharia. V'kasav alaf harash, v'afilu him uros, El shenigmar chalmon v'hainu shalal shal beitzim keshem mechubaros be'eshkol. So Rashi is much more mekil, and Rashi says, if you look at Rashi in our daf here in Vav Mabez, so Rashi says beitzim gemuros v'afilu below klipa levana el shechalmon levado gamur v'afi shemur be'adayim begin shari yeklekaman. So basically, according to Rashi, even the yolk itself, if all you have is a yolk, it's still considered parf. Even if that's what you find in the chicken, even if they have no white part whatsoever. Okay. Because of a Rashi, the Rashi says v'afilu hin mu'uros el shenigbar chalmon. So the Rashi is that you need to have a complete white. Because of Rabbi Yerucham, Divrei Rashi, V'Rashi V'Achach Katzav Yish Mefarshim, Dav Geshigmur B'Chalbon V'Chamon V'Rishon Nir Ikra Akan L'Shona. So the majority opinion seems to be, as long as it has the yellow and the white, that's already considered to be fully formed. Now the Torah Paskin is like this. He says, "Zubeitzim and Nimsaim be'ofos mitarim lachan bechalav." Medamurim shem gemuros has to be complete. Avalim enim gemuros have a kabasar of atzma. Veizu gemura. What's gemura? Because of Rashi, b'kol sheyesh lachalbo mechamom, all he needs is the yolk and the white. Af b'shehi meura begidin harize gemura. How is it gemura? Ein la elachamon adayin basar. But if all it has is the yolk, then it's still considered basar because it's really part of the ovary still. V'rashi perish limor hachamon v'adayin hi aduma u'mu'ura k'mo shalal shal beitzim hamechur be'eshko shari v'yur midvar v'shamata filu ein la adayin chalbon. But he understands Rashi that Rashi is so mekil, even if you have no white whatsoever, you only have the yolk, and even conceivably if it's still attached to the ovary. So according to Rashi, the yolk, even in the ovary, meaning the egg is such a separate entity from the rest of the chicken, even when it's fully attached to the chicken, it's still considered to be parf. So that's a fascinating shita to go that far with it. So the Aruch HaShulchan here, we don't have to go through all the detail, but he really kind of goes through.
Is that the same if it's a fertilizer?
According to what shita?
According to this shita of Rashi. If you had a fertilized egg that didn't have a shell hardened around it, but it was had a white, I don't know if that's what happens, but if you have the white.
It would still be parf, yeah.
So you could technically eat this little chickie.
It's not a chickie. It's a very, very...
It looks like an embryo. It's tiny.
The fertilization, the embryo doesn't grow until the egg is formed.
Oh,
meaning right, okay. You really only have...
So it'll look the same.
Well, what's fascinating about the egg is it's its own little world. It's a reproductive system that happens only within its own entity. Right. The reproductive process doesn't begin until the egg is formed and then the egg is released.
Okay.
So all you have is a drop of sperm in this egg. But what happens is, very quickly, once the egg is out, it takes 21 days for the egg, once it's hatched, it takes 21 days for the chick to... Once it's laid, it takes 21 days for it to hatch. Which is a very short amount of time. It's amazing you can go online, which again, I did yesterday quite a bit. Just, I'm fat, you know. You could... I mean, they have video that you can really just see day by day, and they do this... What's this? The speeding up of animation. What's the word?
Yeah.
They can like fast track it, and they just show it over 21 days. And I mean and you hear the biologists speak about it, and they see Hashem in the egg. It's amazing. Wow. It's like you have in 21 days this little world. There's nothing supporting it. There's nothing. It's just all within the egg. All the potential in this yolk and the sperm creates entire chicken from nothing. It's in 21 days. It's really unbelievable. So anyway, the point being, Rashi, that wouldn't be a shaila, because the question is, at what point is it formed enough that you really have something? It takes about, I would say, a week to 10 days to really have something substantial in there. The first few days you wouldn't even see it, but within a week I would think you definitely have something more substantial.
You wouldn't want to... blood in the egg?
What?
That was a long time ago. But
you would definitely get a blood in the egg after a week.
If it was fertilizer?
Yeah, it has to be fertilized. Sure. There's no way you'll get blood in the egg if it's not fertilized.
Right, but,
When that happens, then it's the candidate anymore.
You don't,
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so let's go to the second page, the Gemara and Chulin. So let's get back to a little bit of the discussion about the category of chicken being fleishik, okay? Oaf being fleishik, because that's really a big part of this. So very interesting Gemara and Chulin. Okay, Netil Shadayim, Ovelo Kinuach. Oh gosh, I'm sorry, this went backwards again. I haven't said this, okay. Abba, the Rebbe Chamua, oh gosh. It's all mixed up. Sorry, let me
below the below is
you want to just get Rashi here.
Let me just get Gemara. Sometimes
that's the problem with the Bar-Ilan.
This is Bar-Ilan?
Yeah, when you copy and paste it sometimes. If I don't double check it, sometimes it shows up all messed up.
Whose software is it? Is it yours at the shuls or?
Through YU. If you're in the YU rabbinic alumni, you can get the online version free.
Yeah. Oh, really?
A friend of mine just told me that you can get Ozer Chachma. For why you?
There's a lot. Yeah, you've got.
I think that's even more than Bar-Ilan.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I'm used to Bar-Ilan, so I'm used to the system of it, and I can find things very quickly.
Do they provide like the sheer everything interface, or that's like? I was wondering, do you copy stuff into Word? Like that's how you do it.
That's how I do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really that. It's not that complicated. It's really that.
Yeah. I think it's more complicated than once. I just wonder sometimes, I see like pen underlines. Like,
there's definitely. There's
like,
definitely more complicated ways to do it. None of which I use. All right, Tana, Agra Chamua de Rebbe Ava Ofu Gvina Nachal Biafikorim. So he would eat Ofu and Gvina, right? Chicken and cheese, Biafikorim, like in a hefker way. So what does that mean? He would eat the two back to back without washing his hands, without rinsing out his mouth. Okay? And if you look at Rashi, if And so to Yadav Ulakinayach, Avo Basar Behema by Kinuach, Kukamar Shaloya Nidva Klum, Minirosh Nachanicho. So he felt that there was no idea of waiting any time from eating chicken to then eating cheese. Meaning, okay, fine, so we have a concept that for Basar you have to wait until you eat cheese, or at the very least, you have to rinse your mouth, you have to wash your hands. You know, and the Gemara wasn't so pasha that they just waited.
Specifically, oaf or all Basar?
He says oaf. Oaf being Durabanan.
Right.
Right? So you can be more mekil. So why should you have a gzera that after eating oaf, you can't eat milk or cheese right away? Why should you be machmir on the Durabanan? Right. Well, it's a gzera to a certain extent. So he felt you can be more mekil. So Tosfos here, which you have here.
Who is this? This is
this is a Gemara in Chulin. Yeah.
So this is one of the Gemara's stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. So Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam here, takes this Gemara in a direction you would never assume. So it says, Rabbeinu Tam Afarish, V'ken alachos gedolos, T'achal basar asr lacho gvina, Hainu below until v'kinuach. V'am p'hil v'kinuach, shari. Aval gvina mutter lacho basar af below until v'kinuach. Okay, so make this distinction between basar and oaf, and you'd assume the difference is basar is deraisa, oaf is derbanan, that's why they had this chiluk. That would seem to be the clean way to do it. Maruk v'delo achil, atzurachwiti, and then Mark was even more chamor, he wouldn't eat cheese, he wouldn't eat dairy till a full meal after me. Hadab lo until v'kinuach, even that was without until v'kinuach. Inami machmer atzmo, haye l'peiru show kasha, my parachacha. Avdi Yitzchak was Archlomer the Perisho, Delin Til Sudaim, Ain Chiluk bin Basar Tchila Ligvina, Basar Tchila Ligvina Tchila, Gabi Kinuach Tafka Yish Chiluk, Veolam Nahagush Lolach or Gvina Acher Basar Klau, Vafil Acher Oaf. And the Olam is no Haig that we, or even Machmir, we don't have cheese right after Oaf just like Basar. Vafa Gav the Tani Agra Oaf Gvina Nachal and Befikor, Mashma Oaf Tchila Dilma, Bshim de Safar. Basar oaf bechalav lav deraisa v'lo kaima lanhachi. So Tosfos kind of floats the idea that an assumption that Gemara has is that oaf is even asa deraisa. And then again, the next Tosfos in on Kufyu Gimel Amud Aleph. So there's a Mishnah in Daf Kufyu Gimel that seems to learn out as a machlokes, a three-way machlokes. What is asa deraisa? So the first mission says, "Baser behema tahor bechalav, behema tahor asir levashel baser be'ana." Okay. Rabbi Kiva omer chayev oaf ena min haTorah. Rabbi Kiva holds that no chay and oaf are not asir min haTorah, only basar. And gives why. Rabbi Silgli omer namar lotu konvela, namar lotu vashol gedib bechal yimo et she asir mishum. Nevela asr levashel bechalav ve'ov she asr mishum nevela yechazav ve'ana tamal lomar bechalav yimo yetsa of sheino chalav ein. So Tosfos here says, which we have quoted, who adin basar of the rabbanan to asr min haTorah. So Tosfos assumes that the first sheet of the mission, the rabbanan, the chachamim, hold that of is even asr min haTorah. The daf ke Rabbi Akiva who da amar chayv of ena min haTorah. V'naf ke lam midarish lekamen et she asr mishum nevela asr levashel bechalav. So Tosfos in two places, and we'll see this becomes a big discussion in the Achronim, Tosfos holds in two places that Basar Oaf is Asar Midaraisa, Basar is considered Basar Chalav Midaraisa. Mm-hmm. Now if that were the case, that's going to change a lot of things, right? And we get into, so why should we be making a distinction between eggs? If you would tell me that Oaf is Asar Midaraisa, according to that Chita, should we make any Chiluk? Why should eggs be any different than a calf, right? Or anything like that.
Well, it's a different reproductive process. You have an egg versus a live birth.
So, what's the... So,
there's okay. There's a stage... Well, you also have the idea... number one, you have the idea of an unfertilized egg,
right,
which you don't have with cows, because right, the non-fertilized eggs just get passed through immediately.
Right.
So that's one. And then two, you have this idea of a yolk being separated before it becomes...
Why does it get passed through immediately in a cow? Like in a human, it doesn't get passed through immediately.
Right? I mean, does it just get expunged from it?
Meaning it's not... There's no chashash that it's going to be busted.
Right. I'm no expert in biology, but isn't that...
Right, but I don't think
there are eggs being passed. Right, but it takes... Right?
It doesn't happen immediately, you know. The egg's there for a couple of days.
But it's a non...
It doesn't change.
It doesn't resemble the meat of the
human. It's not bust
of the
right.
of the mother.
Right.
It's something else. It's like
well, it's not something you can actually
spit.
It's not something you can actually. I mean, it's right. even, you can put it on a practical level. It's not something. I mean, it's an egg, but it's not practically speaking. It's not something you can eat. It's a cell that's
right.
You
know, no, but. But
sequential to,
but to hear where Zev is going here is that the reason the egg should have different rules can depend on how you view oaf. So if you view oaf as being a derisa, so then you lose that whole argument, which we'll get to, which some will definitely say the reason that eggs are parv is because chickens are derabanan, we can be more makil. But if you lose that argument, you need another argument. So what's Tosfos's argument as to why eggs and even fully formed eggs in the chicken are going to be parv? So you have to go in this direction. You have to end up saying that the egg is such a unique entity that it's its own world. It's not part of the chicken. Even in the chicken itself, certainly once the shell is formed, and even according to other sheetahs we saw, even as long as there's a white part or maybe even a yolk, that the only question is how much of a chiddush is an egg. According to Rashi, the egg is such a chiddush if it's a yolk sitting in the ovary, it's not even part of the chicken. It's like an alien form that happens to exist within chickens. The other Rishonim say you can't go that far. It has to have been separated from the chicken enough that now you can call it something different, you know, or the Mordechai has to be a fully formed shell. But the fact that you have a reproductive system that is separate and apart from the animal means you can say it's not part of the animal anymore.
Maybe you can. I mean, I think you can even say the argument that if you were to be able to capture the eggs, you know, that amount produces a cow, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's practical impossibility, right? Like there's, you know, because of the way it works, there's nothing actually to.
What do you mean?
Because anyway, you know, you have, you know, a cow, a human, or the actual egg is a cell,
right?
It doesn't, you know, no, nothing is wrapped around it. Nothing, you know, no shells come. So if you know, the only thing you have left is a cell, right? If it's not fertilized, it comes out either via menstruation. I don't think cows menstruate, so I don't know how it comes out with a cow. But at the end of the day, you're left with the cell. Which
you can Google calf menstruation tonight.
Yeah,
I think they must know.
I don't know. I've never. I mean,
you're the doctor.
I'm not a veterinarian.
But at the end of the day, whatever they do or they don't, you're talking about something that is actually not even visible, and you know, by naked eye, and therefore can't be considered, right?
Right.
That's good.
You know, so
right. There's a famous Chai Adam. Like, if you can't see it, it doesn't have halachic.
Yeah. So you're saying because an egg and a cow, or like a human, is not visible.
It's not visible. It has no status.
So the chiddush here is that you have a physical, visible egg even before it becomes anything.
Yeah.
Even in the ovary, it's a yolk that's visible.
Something you can see, so it has status
it has
to it
them.
Itself.
So, now, there's
an Indian of Tvarim Hayotzim Min Hachai, right? There's
right.
a simon in... In Yoredeya, Tzadi Aleph, if I remember correctly, and we prohibit that in general, right? So how can you?
You mean Aver Menachai, basically?
It's not Aver Menachai. Dvar Miyotzim Minha.
It's kind of connected. Like, well, we will get to it. We'll get to that. It's seven pei vav. We'll get to that.
Okay, well,
what is true.
No, we will, because that's going to be a kasha. We'll ask the kasha at the end. No, it's a good. But you're right, because that's another. But then milk is the same question. It's also davar yitzmin. So obviously, we allow things that come from a chai and don't consider it necessary to be aver min chai or davar yitzmin chai. So, but certainly the egg, which we consider to be a separate entity, something the chiddush here is that. It's such a separate entity. Rashi is willing to call it a separate entity while it's still in the ovary.
Yeah, but I don't think it's different from cows, because with the cow, it's a cell that's basically not can be considered anything because you can't even see it, the naked eye. And if it is fertilized, then you actually have a calf, which is already an its own animal even within the womb. It's
right.
Already,
no, I understand. Know. Right. So the rules are just different with an egg. We're saying, but it's different from.
It's different because if you were to have a mammal whose egg is big enough to see and eat, maybe you could argue
that actually
would be an egg. Just like
no, but the chiddush though for you is that okay? Let's say it's fertilized, and let's say it's fertilized and it's beginning to form.
Wait, in a cow, you mean?
No, in the chicken. The yolk
it is fertilized and it's beginning to form. It's always already outside the chicken. It's already a laid egg.
No. I'm saying it's formed. The white is surrounding the yolk, and it's fertilized already. Okay.
Okay. So, fine.
So at that point,
fertilized or fertilized, I don't think that makes a difference.
Well, let's call it fertilized to keep the comparison going. Right. Meaning, at that point, then you could say, well, now it's really busser.
Not until you actually can see, you know, the fertilization having actually.
No, but you can see the yolk. I'm saying you, there's something there you can see.
You
can
see the embryo. You
can see the blood. You can see the embryo.
You would see an embryo.
You
wouldn't see a fertilized egg. You know that a fertilized egg, if it's just laid, even if fertilized, you can crack it open and it just looks like an unfertilized egg.
Oh, you'll see like this.
There's a dot. There's a dot you can see when it's fertilized. The white dot.
Whenever you see a blood spot, you always see it's like a little.
There's a white dot in the yolk that you can see when it's fertilized.
And we're okay to eat that?
Yeah, it's not considered busser. Yeah. It's not busser until it's something, you're right, saying something more substantial.
It's not busser until it's busser.
It's not busser. Right. So.
Literally.
Well, I thought you're not supposed to eat a blood spot. Or this
it wouldn't be blood.
Pre blood spot?
Yeah, it would just be a white dot. I mean,
no blood cells have been, you know.
Right. It's very possible you've eaten them in your lifetime, you have no idea. You could have eaten.
Again, it doesn't matter. It's not visible to human eye.
Yeah.
What?
Again, if it's not visible to human eye, Lamaisa, we don't worry about it.
No, you can see the sperm. You can see it, but it's not really it's not an embryo yet. It's an egg with sperm in it.
Well, no, yeah, I don't think you can see the sperm. You can probably see the beginnings of embryo.
No, you can see the sperm. There's a little white dot.
It's probably actually the beginning of an embryo, because I don't think you can see the sperm.
I don't think it's considered
it's just that. It's interesting that in our formulated culture, we haven't answered all fertilized eggs. Right? Like, why is it that in liquid they have cells? Like fertilized free eggs, you know, like why is it they.
Oh, no, it's not, there's no concern. Meaning, because even if it's fertilized, if it's not incubated, it's not going to survive anything. I mean, it'll never grow into anything, because you still need the heat of the incubation. So you can have a fertilized egg that's laid and has no, never grows at all. Put in the freezer, forget it. So you can have a fertilized egg that just is nothing, right? Which is what happens. I mean, you know, on a farm, they just collect all the eggs. Even if it was fertilized, it doesn't matter to them all that much. So it's certainly possible you could have them. So anyway, the point is that according to the Shita, you would definitely need to take that into account. So the Bach here, he kind of makes this argument. So the Inyan Halacha, possibly Yosef B'Shulchan Aruch, Kisvaras Rashba, Mionira, Mionira, Kevin de Mordechai, V'Sharidura, Asr Lechol, B'Chalav, Elim Kim Kishinem B'Klipa, Sanachitzona. So we said that the Mordechai was the most machmir here. He felt that the only way you could ever call this egg parv is if it has a fully formed hardened shell, even in the chicken. When you shell the chicken, you have to find a hard shell in order to be considered parv, otherwise it's still fleshic. We compare to Rashbam, Ein Lahakel, and Rashbam says, that's the sheet, you can't be more makel than that. V'tu halo mariba gash sharidura, but the minhag, he says, is that the minhag that was established was that if they shechted a chicken, even if they found a fully formed egg with a hardened shell, they still treated it as basar. Even though there's no reason for it, meaning that according to all shitas, that should be parv. They just made a laplug. They didn't want to make any mistakes. They just consider everything to be usar. To be fleshik.
No.
What?
You can't say low plug, you know. It's like saying I want
to keep chumra. Pesach. It's a chumra.
I want to keep Pesach for 9 days.
No, it's a chumra.
Low plug, huh?
It's a chumra.
Like extending the we don't extend shiurim.
I'm saying it's no worse than Benosis roll, considering every type of dam as being a zava gadola instead of being nida, and therefore waiting shiurim minikiyim. They're being machmer in themselves, unnecessarily at times, but they're being machmer in themselves. So that's what they're saying. They're saying, you know, we're being machmer in ourselves. Is it minhag shtus? Yeah. Hello. Plenty of chumers are minhag shtus. Again, we've seen this a lot, that it became a minhag, so they kept it. They kept this halacha. He, v'hu de perak hadar, because it tells us to the Teretz Bahag. What do you got?
The cow's missing.
They don't?
They don't.
Okay, there we go. See, we've all learned something.
She talks about these on that Google search. They don't want
to. They go through what's called an estrus cycle. Yeah, like most animals. Most animals just like, you know.
They just have eggs?
They're in heat.
They're in heat. Oh, I see.
Through like a seasonal.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
Yeah, I know my dog is, well, he's a boy, not a girl, but four months a year, scattered by 2 months, he's like crazy.
And that's because he smells it. Not because, I mean, I think...
He smells the heat. He smells the heat.
Oh, gosh.
And he's fixed and he goes crazy. Because biologically, he's still the same.
Really? It's just the same thing. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Kazot also til teretz bahag de kilut fe bebasar vechal min nevelim eshim de basar of vechal midirabanam. So the Bach says that according to Tosfos and according to the Bahag, so why are we more makil here? De kilut fe basar vechal min nevelim eshim de basar of vechal midirabanam, because of is derabanam. Fizel mandamar basar vechal deraisa. But if you're going to hold that of is deraisa like Tosfos, afilu matzav beitzah shekamoha. Nimkeres bashuk, also achal bechalav. Ukadin beitzas nevela. So the Bach says he thinks the reason that this minhag came about was because they were choshesh for the shita that basar of is deraisa, and therefore they didn't want to mess with that. Even though it's only the shita of Tosos and no one else holds it. Still,
Tosos doesn't even bring a reason. He just says it, right?
He's kind of logically looking at the Mishnah Kufya Gimel and saying, well, we think this, you know, this Kufya the Rabbanan holds. But even so, no one else really holds of it. It's clearly not the accepted psak. We even have a gzera why we can't eat it. But the Bach feels that must be the reason for that minhag, was there choshish for that was deraisa. And if you hold it's deraisa, so then even a fully formed egg, you don't want to eat because it's still part of the chicken. That's what the Bach felt. Okay, the Shach says as follows. A few more things. Ubasav chay ve'of af bechila. Das mechaber de basav chay ve'of eno aser bechila afilu derech bishul elam midirabanan. So the mechaber clearly paskins that of is only basav chel of derabanan. Umutzer be'ano bishul gamrei. Therefore, you can tzmutzer be'ano and bishul. From our shav ve'bach talat midirimari be'agash sharidira. Simen ayin vav be masha kasev kashal hakel neged atosfos lekach pasu de basa chayvov bechalv deraisa. So the Shach understands the Bach is even pasking like Tosfos. It doesn't seem to be that's exactly what the Bach is doing, but okay. But certainly Tosfos says deraisa. If it's sifri, hischati divrei haomrim shehu midirabanam minashash meashash veveti sham shekain dasar be poskim oed. V'sha'af mari lo ka'amar ela shekashu l'hakel neged tosfos shelocho gvin achar basa v'of miyad v'amod l'dina ter basa of b'chalab d'rabanan sharekasa b'sharaduras t'beitzim gemurim mutlach m'chalab m'shim de basa of b'chalab d'rabanan hikilu. So here he quotes the beferish in the sharadura that the reason we're more mikil when it comes to eggs is because basa of is d'rabanan. So he lays out, the Shach lays out clearly that as long as you don't hold the basar of is deraisa, then you don't have a problem saying that that's why we're more makil with eggs, was because it's derabanan. So why do we have to be more machmir? But the question then you have to answer why in the world do you have to be more machmir otherwise. Now we have a shaila that comes and something that Andrew was referencing earlier in the following halacha. So you guys don't have this last page?
No.
I'm sorry. I don't know why it didn't spend time. Okay, so the case is like this. So we have two cases in Simon Peivov. Case number one: Beitz Nevela Utshreifa Filu Nigmura Shekiyote Ba Nimkaris Beshuk Asura Avil Darav Be'elaf Kulin Asuros. Well, so if you have a Beitz that's Nevela and there's an egg inside that Nevela, that egg is considered to be Asura. Mm-hmm. Okay, meaning even if it's fully formed. Aval safek im beitz nevela o im beitz shchuta
muteres.
Right. Number two, siv dalet hika tanagolos alzayin vas. You hit.
If it's safek nevela, then you're mekel.
Then you're mekel, right? But if it's vade nevela, so if you find a dead chicken and there's an egg inside, you have to treat it as nevela, even though if it was shechted, you could treat it as parv. So we see this, the rules don't seem to be consistent. And then on top of that, he can turn a goat cell zanva. So if you hit the tarigolas, you know, in its tail, v'epila b'beitzasa konim shenigmara, and the less than fully formed egg comes out, right? Muteres v'en kamishum ever minachai v'ushena meur begidin. So as long as the egg is fully formed for the most part, there's a shell, so then you can consider it to be muteres. It's a regular egg. However, if it's meur begidin, then it's a surah. Okay? This also is more machmed than we saw by Shechita. By Shechita, we're much more makil that the egg, even not fully formed, it still can be considered parv. But here, when the question is, should we treat this as Eivor Menachai?
That was an available situation, right?
No, then this is Eivor Menachai. So the second was Eivor Menachai, meaning if you forcibly or somehow the egg comes out early. Right. Now it's Eivor Minachai.
Oh, you're hitting it to get the egg, but it's still alive?
Even if you it's still alive. Maybe not hitting it to get the egg.
Eivor Minachai, it's an egg, so you hit it. But
right, so you're saying, well, how could it ever be Eivor Minachai? If you're going to tell me that an egg is a separate entity, so how could you ever use a lashon of Eivor Minachai for an egg? Manoshach, it's
like
a separate entity, or it's not. Right?
It's like already disconnected, yeah.
Right, so Mu'ur Begidin, so okay, but that just means it's not fully formed yet. It's not still attached to the chicken. If it's attached to the chicken, there would be a yolk that was in the ovary. So what does this mean? So, Mamanavshach, is an egg a separate entity, and that's why we're makil, but then there shouldn't be Eivor Menachai, shouldn't be in the discussion. So the Shach tries to answer this stira, and also the Aruch HaShulchan deals with it also in the Makoros we have there. So he says, V'hu demash mil ilsim pei vav, sevdala de behika tarnagolta zain vav, v'yatil abates in the sur mishiv Eivor Menachai, imurus begidin af, v'shidimim b'chabo mechamon. Even if it's got the fully formed white as well, alma kevin shemu'ura chashiv kebasar hatarnagola. So it seems that even though it's formed, as long as it doesn't have a full shell yet, it's part of the chicken. Shani hachal zelim basar b'chalav de'of shehu medira banan hikilu. So why are we more mekil when it comes to this case of shechita? We're making a basar b'chalav because basar b'chalav of is derabanan, but Eivor Menachai is deraisa. So we'll consider it. So this is kind of getting to the weird. So if you're saying the reason we're making with eggs is because it's of is derabanan, so now you're left in a really funny situation because you'll be more makil for the egg when it comes to basar b'chalav, but you have to be just as machmir for Eivor Menachai because that's deraisa. So the egg will have two different statuses, even though it's the egg is in the same part of the process of development, depending on, well, what's the concern here? Is it basar b'chalav or is it Eivor Menachai? So Eivor Menachai, right? So once you shech the chicken, there's no more Eivor Menachai, so therefore everything's going to be more makil. Inami shani hacha kevin tekolchad b'fnei atzmo shari ken kasur achron nevechiluk zeh huskar b'tasva
zeh. Wait, that's because Of is not basar?
Since Of is,
that's why Basar has a lower level. What?
It relies on
the fact that Of is not.
It's not really Basar. Right.
It's not really Basar.
So I guess we're basically saying we're not really sure, if the egg is part or not. But if the overriding concern is the rice, you could actually just take in this chicken and put a cheese on it directly and eat it.
Right.
Then we'll be even though with the egg, even though we're not sure what the stuff is, okay, we'll be makel because there's anyways zero banan. But Eivor Menachai is always deraisa, so you can. We're not sure. You have to remind me.
Right. So basically, if you're going to say that Of is basar b'chalav deraisa, to be making an egg, you have to be fully confident that the egg is a completely different entity. If you're going to hold derabun, you don't need to be that confident. You can just say, well, it seems different. We can consider it different. It's a separate entity.
Well, we can just say the Rabbanan, the kind of Rabbanan just doesn't go that far because of egg.
Well, yeah, but why is that line? I mean, the line has to. I mean, you wouldn't say that about the chicken wings. You'd only say that,
It's a fake egg at that point, or is it just?
Oh, God, it's double
their abundance.
So you can call it Sevek Derabanan Lekul if you want to call it that. Since we don't know exactly what to consider this egg, since it's kind of like the chicken, but kind of not like the chicken, so for Basar b'chalav, it can be Mekil.
Right.
But for Eivor Menachai, we can't. So it seems that, according to the Shach, the way he understands it, that we're not fully confident that the egg is fully parv. We're just leaning in that direction, and therefore suffik derabanan and lekula to a certain extent. Mm. I mean, it's a constant suffik. It's not like a suffik in a situation. It's just you know, the egg is the beta shmushos of food.
Yeah, you don't see something around the cooling the egg. It's more like, we don't know when, I mean, certainly when the egg leaves the chicken, everyone agrees it's
okay. Right.
Before that, you know, when do you draw the line? It's an, you know, you can say it's almost like arbitrary where you draw the line. But when the takana rabbanon basically becomes that we make a takana that the chicken is basar, that doesn't include the egg. So that's how you can get away with saying, even when it's just the yolk, as soon as it, like, you know, it separates from the chicken, because now it's a yolk traveling down the...
Right.
At that point, the takana rabbanon is saying that the you're going to consider the chicken basar even though it's not really basar, you know, the takana rabbanon is basically not. Well, up to here, but no further.
Okay, right? That's a good point. She was saying... It's not about suffix, it's just the takana, the xera, really, xera.
The xera, yeah.
Right. Okay, that's fair. You can put it that way as well. That's definitely fine. Yeah. Andrew, you're deep in thought.
Yeah, that's okay.
So what's this whole, the whole sugi of, that we've heard that you can have, that the Vlad in a shechted, I guess it would be cow, is considered...
Well, that's fleishik for sure.
Sorry. The chalav in a shechted right. cow is basar. Where does that come from? That's totally different sugya.
It's a different sugya. It's connected. It's a different sugya. But
so how do you learn it out that it's not chalav? It's chalav. I mean, the etzim is chalav. So what?
Right. And if obviously we say chalav is a separate entity because
it's self-defining.
Because right, the fact that you can.
It's only defined as chalav for purposes of basar chalav, like, right. Otherwise,
right. So there, you, right. You have to say, hey, you got the right. But
so how does it shift to being basar within a?
No, it must be that it's not considered milk until it's milk. Yeah.
Until it's
not considered milk.
Yet. It's yotzei
milk. Still considered, yeah. Meaning, it's not a self-contained entity. It's the milk exists in the udder and is sustained by the udder.
Right.
What's the chiddush of the egg? Is that certainly once there's a shell?
Here's the, yeah, here it is.
Find the challah. Oh, that's the kachal. Yeah. So the milk is sustained by the udder. The milk is sustained by being in the cow. If the cow died, the milk would, you know, spoil and become. You know, the cow needs to be alive for the challah to grow. The chiddush of the egg is that it does, but doesn't need the chicken. It's a self. Contained entity, and certainly once there's a shell.
Mitchell of Ashley
and
Bussa.
Yeah, for sure.
I was shocked that no one's done this. Like as a,
it's a derabatan.
Yeah. Like a restaurant out there.
People have done that on rare occasions.
On like a right, like an unusual thing, but like so a restaurant should do this. Like
it would be a good pop up.
Yeah, I mean, because like you only
cheeseburger.
Yeah, you can probably freeze most of that cheese to like have for inventory. For, you know.
All right, take a step back here. First of all, you need a slaughterhouse. You need a slaughterhouse that's shucking milking cows, which they never do.
Right, milk cows are worth a lot of money. Yeah, because
so first, they never shucking milk cows.
Right. Like if people are willing to pay for Wagyu beef.
They're sure they're willing to pay for a kosher cheeseburger. I can imagine what you can charge for a kosher cheeseburger.
But you need the koshering agent to be right. Okay with all of it.
I'm sure someone's in this guy. So they do T-bone steaks. They do get a nusha. The Spartan do get a nusha. I saw it once in a restaurant in Rome.
Right.
And they were doing get a nusha. I didn't have
no, it. No, Spartan filet mignon. Spartan yeah. Mar. Right.
Spartan do everything.
Hey, look.
Kidney is the whole
the Seder. All right. So, that's our egg sugya. It's interesting, no?
Yeah,
it's different.
I didn't know anything.
Yeah, it's a different kind of sugya. But
I never really thought about how eggs are part. It's very strange.
Look, we're doing besides baits. We have to do one real egg sugya, you know? Real momish baits sugya. Okay, so now we're in Zion Amud Aleph.
So the Gemara detours here off of Beitza Shenolad, emphasizing the Nolad.
Right.
And on Beyantif to emphasizing the Beya here.
It then gets into this whole discussion of
Chulin
shchita
stuff. Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with eggs? Let's get into the eggs. Okay. So we can't. I mean, are you guys